We interrupt our regularly scheduled program for this special presentation of Inter Miami Soccer on ESPN 106.3. The pink smoke is in the air. That means legendary goals.
Oh, it's a cannon shot. Go ahead and give him the goal of the week.
Heroic saves.
Outstanding point blank save. You are denied.
Inter Miami Soccer is on ESPN 106.3.
Gol de Messi.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Oh, man. I got a doozy of an episode today, folks. Welcome on into episode number 17 of Pink Smoke, where we talk everything Inter Miami, everything Lionel Messi, and everything this time around, Dame, this episode with World Football. It is our World Football special here on Pink Smoke. Welcome on in, folks. I'll tell you what, I'm fired up for a couple of reasons. Number one, I'm fired up in a good way because there was a ton of great Copa soccer that happened. Now, Damian Perez, my co-host and producer behind the glass here at the City Place Studio, he is Uruguayo.
Yes, sir.
Got that right.
You're getting better every time.
He is Uruguayo. Big Uruguayan fan. And Uruguay played well. Argentina played well. But, Damian, do you want to know what's got me steaming angry and steaming hot?
And ready to sack
the manager. What is going on with the United States men's national team? Damian Perez, we have our soccer group chat. It's football. It's myself, Damian Perez, who obviously you hear him here on Pink Smoke. He is our fill-in host, fill-in producer, ESPN 106.3. But he is also on the radio network on the Deporte side, 760 AM on Inter Miami. We have the same job as far as Inter Miami, but he is on the Spanish side and I am on the English side. And Damian is much smarter than I am because he is bilingual, and fair play to him for that. But we have our soccer group chat with Damian and then Elias Bustamante as well from 760 AM Deportes. You guys told me something. I was so mad at both of you guys last night, but you guys were right. What did you tell me United States soccer needs to do?
I mean, it's pretty evident. The USA, they need to get serious.
That's it. Right there. Stop. That phrase, get serious. It's such a smack in the face to our federation. But at the same time, I took a breath and I realized that Damian is 110% right. Why aren't these guys playing in the Gold Cup? No one can answer. Oh, they need rest. You know, they had a long football season. Do you think Lionel Messi needs rest?
That's kind of where I was going.
Do you think Cristiano Ronaldo needs rest?
This is the equivalent of Copa America. This is the equivalent of UEFA. Like, this is the main cup for the CONCACAF, and players are just saying, nah, we don't need to do it. We're tired.
And Clint Dempsey and Landon Donovan, two of the most recognizable faces in American soccer history. God, I love those teams growing up. You want to know why I love those teams? They played for the badge. They played in every single competition, and they helped create what United States soccer is right now, which is the best program in CONCACAF. I don't know for how much longer, folks, because our best players aren't playing. Damian, I'm not the one you need to tell that football is a long season. It's the most, in my opinion, it's the most grueling season in all of sports. But at the same time, when the top of the top, like Vinicius Jr., Kylian Mbappe, I know Ronaldo isn't Ronaldo and what he used to be, and I love Ronaldo. Ronaldo, Messi, when these guys are playing in these competitions after playing all these games, it's a bad look. It's like when you say get serious, you're 100% accurate. Why aren't these players playing in this? Why? Tim Weah and Weston McKennie? Okay, you got the Club FIFA World Cup. Fine. You could still play in these games, man.
That's not even an excuse because Messi, he's got the Club FIFA World Cup.
Yes!
Argentina played last night. Argentina's already qualified. There's no reason why Messi should have been on that field, but you're not telling Messi he's not playing for Argentina. That's kind of the pride that we want to see here in the USA, and we don't see that. I mean, playing for your national team is one of the biggest moments you could have as a career. It's one of the, you put on that badge and you do it for pride. And to say no to that, I mean, you got to get, like, it's just, it's embarrassing. Very, it really is.
Very much so. And I'm worried about the Gold Cup. Very worried about the Gold Cup. And Damian, I really try to go to bat for the MLS. I do. But that lineup was chocked full of MLS players last night. It was 4-0. 4-0 in the 37th minute. I didn't think there was... I honest to God, folks, I said earlier during Russo and Rizzo, you can listen to Russo and Rizzo, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, Colin Russo and myself. This is the worst this team has been since 2018, losing to Trinidad and Tobago and missing out on the World Cup. It's that bad right now. Do you want to know why? You have former players questioning the heart of the current players. You have the current players not wanting to put on the badge and play. And I will say, fair play to Chris Richards and fair play to Tyler Adams. Fair play for them for suiting up and playing for the badge. And Tyler Adams is always injured. Let's call it for what it is. But Chris Richards, who is a staple on the back line for Crystal Palace, who won silverware, Damian. They won the FA Cup this year. Household starter for Crystal Palace. He's playing. So why not these other guys? That's my issue with U.S. soccer right now. Let's get on to greener pastures with a little messy mania with our good friends at PNC.
It's time for a little messy mania on Pink Smoke, presented by PNC Bank. The latest match results, highlights, and everything messy starts now. Brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Learn more at PNC.com. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC.
Putting one behind the keeper takes more than talent. Sure, the pros make it look easy, but there's a whole lot of boring work behind it. Hours of drills, scrimmages, and dedication to the craft that ultimately pay off in a brilliant goal-scoring move. PNC Bank knows that it's the same with money. That's why they take a smart, steady, and, well, boring approach. So you can make brilliant money moves that help you score your own goals. And PNC Bank makes it easy and convenient to manage your money when and where it works for you, including with new branch locations opening across Miami. See how keeping your money boring can be the brilliant move for you. Visit PNC.com/brilliantlyboring. PNC Bank, proud banking sponsor of Inter Miami CF radio broadcasts and Brilliantly Boring since 1865. PNC Financial Services, Inc., all rights reserved, member FDIC. Damian, let's do a little messy mania. Now, the great one did play for Argentina. He did play in these games for Argentina. You mentioned Argentina is doing fantastic right now in the group stage qualifications for Copa America. What is Messi up to for the games with Argentina?
Yeah, like I said, Argentina's already qualified. They're already in the World Cup. But yesterday they played against Colombia in Argentina. That is a huge rivalry. That's a rematch from the Copa America final. Argentina tied that game 1-1. Messi played 78 minutes. He got on a flight overnight, and now he's back in Miami today, getting ready for the Club World Cup, which actually debuts on Saturday.
I'll tell you what, man. Hearing that makes me steaming mad. Messi, the greatest player, arguably the greatest player of all time, is playing in the Club FIFA World Cup and also playing for his country. Damian, I swear United States players decided not to play and focus on the Club World Cup. Obviously, I'm trolling, folks, but that's just the kind of player that Lionel Messi is. And it's not surprising to me that Argentina is able to get a result against Colombia. They were on a red card, too. Argentina was on the red card and still was able to get a result.
Right.
That was a big fixture for Colombia as well, right, Dame?
Yes, very big, very big. They're actually sixth. They're in the last place to qualify directly with Venezuela, just about 4 points away from them. So big, big game for Colombia. They needed at least a point just to make it a two-game lead against Venezuela. And Venezuela actually lost to Uruguay 2-0, which was also a huge game for Uruguay that was tied with Colombia going into this fixture.
Gosh, Dame, that's a close battle. Oh, my goodness. So Argentina, by the way, these are the World Cup qualification tables. Lionel Messi in Argentina, 11 wins, 2 draws, 3 losses. They have the most points with 35. How about Ecuador? Wow.
Yeah.
Caicedo?
Yep.
Right?
Yep,
Moises Caicedo from Chelsea. I know a lot of their players, and Dame, 7-7-2, 25 points. They're technically ahead of Brazil because of the goal differential, but Brazil also with 25 points, they are third on the table.
Ancelotti's first win last night.
Good. Honestly, I'm happy for that. I thought he got a bad rap there with Real Madrid. How funny is that? He goes from coaching Vinny for Real and then coaching Vinny in Brazil. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Matias Cunha had a link-up goal.
He did. Assist to Vinny. 1-0, I think the game ended. 1-0, Cunha assist to Vinny. That was it right there.
How about Cunha?
Yeah, that's the new, freshly Manchester United boy.
Who roots for United? Oh, yeah, me. Paraguay's got to be the surprise, right?
Yeah, they're going into this fixture, they were probably the hottest team in South America. I believe they hadn't lost a game since October, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, absolutely a surprise. They got a lot of young players like Enciso from Brighton, Diego Gomez, who actually was right here in Inter Miami last year. Great team, and going into this fixture, like I said, one of the hottest teams in South America. Unfortunately, they lost 1-0 to Brazil, which actually really needed that game. Brazil, that game actually qualified Brazil. They're in the World Cup after that. But yes, definitely the surprise of this year, you can say it's definitely Paraguay.
Now, Colombia obviously had that run in Copa. And Dame, they really took a step back after that tournament, huh?
Yeah. It was...
Because they were the talk... You know, James Rodriguez was playing great soccer again. They had that Luis Diaz as well. They were really the surprise team, at least in my opinion, in Copa, obviously being able to do what they did in the tournament. But their last couple of games before that fixture, loss, draw. And obviously that's not good enough for a team like Colombia, who's got a lot of power. So was very surprised to see that. And then Venezuela, you know, our good buddy Elias Bustamante, he's Venezuelan. He was all fired up for the fixture. Dame, Uruguayo ran away with that one.
Yeah,
huh?
He actually texted me, not so happy about the game. Venezuela, who's actually in the playoff spot of the CONMEBOL qualifier, and you can say they probably have the hardest road out of all the teams that are in the hunt. They play Argentina in Argentina. That's the next match. And then Colombia in Venezuela. Those are the last two matches. So very tough matches for Venezuela. I go back to one of the fixtures before this where they lost 4-2 to Chile, which Chile is eliminated. They've been eliminated for the last three World Cups. They've had a horrible, horrible qualifier this year, but they lost 4-2 to that team, surprisingly, and that's kind of the game that we look back and they wish they probably wouldn't have lost that game.
Certainly a lot of storylines with World Cup qualifications right now. Obviously, Team USA with a disgraceful loss against Switzerland. In the United States, I believe that game, Nashville, maybe, or Houston. I forget exactly where it was played. I apologize, folks. But all I know is it was on my tube, and it was 4-0 in the 37th minute. Damien, I tweeted, or rather X'd, posted on X. I guess that's what we say now. People who supported the red, white, and blue deserve their money back watching that garbage. But I say maybe the United States losing 4-0 was the most surprising thing. But, Dame, something else happened, too. And that was the Three Lions. England losing 3-1 to Senegal. Damien, unacceptable on a lot of levels. Here's why. England put out a strong lineup. They had Eze and Kane up top. First off, Thomas Tuchel, the new gaffer for England, Dame. I'm not a Tuchel guy. I'm not. I think that was a bad hire. Everyone was on Gareth Southgate for years and that England squad. At least Southgate would go deep into competitions and play some pretty decent enough football. Now, you ask an English fan that, he was the worst coach ever. But Thomas Tuchel, not an English guy. That's big with the English national team, by the way. But Harry Kane, Eze, Declan Rice, Connor Gallagher, Bukayo Saka, Leo Colwill, Kyle Walker. I mean, man, this was a lineup.
What else do you want? That's an embarrassment of riches.
This was a lineup. And not to mention Anthony Gordon, too, from Newcastle. They lost 3-1 to Senegal, whose most notable player is probably Nico Jackson, who plays for Chelsea, striker up top. Probably not going to see a lot of minutes with their new striker coming in. But regardless. And then Sarr from Crystal Palace. Losing 3-1, absolutely shocking result. And obviously, it's like with England, they created, like, England has that kind of I'm the guy complex going on in the sense of they created the sport and they kind of stick their nose up to other countries and teams.
Remember the whole it's coming home?
Right, right. Damian, they haven't won anything in a very long time on the world side of things. I tend to kind of root for England. I can't lie, guys. I love the Premier League. I love all the players that are on the English roster. Similar to how I, Damian, I understand that basketball was technically created in Canada, but let's be honest. When you see basketball, you expect the United States to win. When I see stuff with soccer, I kind of expect England to win. They haven't won anything, what, since the 70s, the 60s? It's been a long time since they've 60s. Won a been a long time since they won a World Cup.
Runner-up in Euros 2024. I believe they lost to Germany.
Yeah. And who was... No, Euros... Didn't Spain... Spain won the most recent Euros.
Yes.
So 2020. 2020, they lost to Germany. All, yep. Yeah, but to that point, like, they always have a strong roster and they're never able to figure it out. And this was a tough loss. I listened to a lot of English radio, like Talk Sport. They were not happy with that. That was probably the most surprising. And I understand, Dame, it was just a friendly. And what do I have a saying with my friends. What do friendlies mean? Absolutely nothing. So, obviously, the loss doesn't carry a lot of weight. But this is a team that wasn't in the Nations League final. Remember you and I? We were like, where the hell is England? They weren't even on the table, Damian. They weren't even on the table for the Nations League final. So, something to look out for as well. English football certainly... in a dark spot right now with Thomas Tuchel. We'll see if they'll be able to figure things out before the 2026 World Cup coming on here in North America. Obviously, with the World Cup, we're going to have games down here in South Florida at Hard Rock Stadium, all across the United States, Mexico, and more. Folks, this is Pink Smoke. We're on ESPN 106.3. It is our World Football edition of Pink Smoke, and that was a little messy mania. Keep a track of what Lionel Messi has been up to. And as Damian astutely pointed out, it's playing for his host country in Argentina. And we are 3 days separated. 3 days separated from Inter Miami playing in arguably their biggest fixture of the season. The opening matchup of the Club FIFA World Cup. June 14th, 3 days away. Inter Miami going to be facing off against Al Ahly at Hard Rock Stadium. Going to take a timeout. When we return, more world football conversations, a little transfer news, and a little Club FIFA World Cup talk right here on Pink Smoke.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
A disgraceful performance by the United States men's national team. A disgraceful performance by England. Not so disgraceful, though, is Lionel Messi in Argentina. 35 points on that World Cup qualification table.
And can I just add to that?
Go ahead.
The fact that he got on a flight right after the game, didn't wait till the morning, got here overnight, and this morning was training. There was a tweet this morning of him on the practice field getting ready for the Club World Cup.
Should take some notes. I hate to call out Christian Pulisic because I love Pulley Goat, but
I mean,
I got to throw him in here. Pulley Goat, Tim Weah, McKinney, maybe take some notes. I cannot believe they're not playing on the Gold Cup.
Didn't Pulisic get the Captain America notch?
Yeah, he did. It's my guy. Hang on. Pulisic's my guy. I call him, Dame, there's a reason I call him Pulley Goat. He's on the level of Dempsey and Donovan. Obviously, he has a lot more soccer to play, but I think when it's all said and done, Pulley Goat's going to be up there. And it breaks my heart he's not playing in this
competition.
But
you know what?
It breaks my heart.
Doing this kind of adds pressure. Doing, like, what has happened, what has transpired in the past few weeks with the U.S. national team, it adds pressure going into the World Cup. Well, I don't know if you agree.
It does. It definitely agrees because, Dame, this is the last time the lads are going to be together before the World Cup. It's the last time. And I'm not, Dame, I got to be honest. And I think I know why you guys defend Pochettino so much. He's a fellow South American. I understand
no, and
all that.
I'm not the highest on Pochettino.
Poch, that was a disgrace.
Don't get me wrong, brother.
I understand no one's playing. All right. I know he doesn't have a lot to pick from. And maybe it's me thinking the MLS is better than it actually is because I like to support the MLS. We technically work. We don't work for the MLS, but you know what I'm saying? We're advocates of the MLS.
We want it to grow.
I want it to grow, and I want the soccer to be good. That lineup was full of MLS players, and it was bad. I understand that. But 4-0 in the 37th minute, Damian Perez, That's gaffer for me.
You got to compete.
That's gaffer.
You got to compete. And I mean, there's you do have a point. But at the end of the day, Pochettino has a huge alibi. I mean, let's be honest here. He can't be the first to blame for the situation the U.S. men's national team is in today. He can't be the first one, and he can't be the biggest one either. You've got to look at your veteran players, your captain, your leaders, and ask yourself, are they leading by example here? Is what they're doing putting the national team in a good position?
No other soccer player at a top-tier level is skipping out on stuff like this. Is that fair to say?
No, I mean, we just gave you the best example. Messi at 40.
Messi, Mbappe. How about this? Kylian Mbappe, Nations League. Dame, he's got the Club FIFA World Cup coming up. Was Mbappe playing for France?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was out there.
Was Vinicius Jr. playing for Brazil? Oh, yeah. He scored a goal last night from Matias Cunha. Is Matias Cunha playing for Brazil? Oh, yeah. He had the assist to Vinny Jr. last night for Brazil. Unacceptable. 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 It's Dame, obviously I'm doing a bit of trolling, but at the same time, like, why is it us? Why are the Americans like this? You said to get serious. That was the best. That was Damien. I was piping mad. I go, what are these guys talking about? And then I thought about it for 2 seconds. I go, they're 110% right.
And this is the golden era we're talking about. You know, this is the era that was supposed to take the national team to the next level. And they've been close, but this definitely takes them 2 steps backwards, I would say.
It's very frustrating on so many levels. Now, Dame, I wanted to move on a little bit here quickly to the Club FIFA World Cup. We obviously have our Inter Miami Herons taking on Al Ahly coming up June 14th. Let's take a look at who might be playing and who might not be playing.
Now it's time for the Inter Miami Injury Report, presented by Lytle Ryder Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
And now a fight for it, one right back by Inter Miami.
Lytle Ryder Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com.
Foryourrights.com, folks, our good friends over at Lytle Ryder Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath have been representing injured people and their families for 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com. That is foryourrights.com. Well, I'll tell you what, Damian Perez. The Lytle Ryder Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath injury report is loaded with Inter Miami players.
Oh, boy.
Baltasar Rodriguez still dealing. I'm going to group together the hamstring boys. And the hamstring boys are 1, 2, 3.
Hang on. Hammy squad.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 5 out of the 6 players injured are part of the hashtag hammy squad. Let's start with the first one. Baltasar Rodriguez, who you and I love. Racing, he came on over from one of the top flight Argentinian sides. Baltasar has a hamstring injury. He's not expected back till mid-June. Dame, we're kind of in.
What a tease he was. First ball he touches, assist. MIA.
Totally. And that was the San Jose game? San Jose?
Yeah.
He had an assist in the San Jose game. But when I say mid-June, folks, we're 4 days away from mid-June. And putting it in more perspective, we're 3 days away from the Club FIFA World Cup and 4 days away from mid-June. So a lot of these guys might be back for some of these matchups against Porto and Palmeiras.
Yeah, and also the Baltasar Rodriguez situation is a bit worse, I would say, because it was a re-aggravation. It wasn't the first time that it happened. He didn't pull it then. He pulled it. He came back. He recovered. And then on the first game back, re-aggravation. That usually means the timetable is double from what it was last time. So, unfortunate situation. Hopefully, we do get him halfway through the group stage for the FIFA World Cup, because we definitely need him.
Davi Ruiz, hamstring, mid-June. This is a new one, Dame. Gonzalo Luan, hamstring, late June.
Yeah, that happened last game against Columbus.
God, and he had to get subbed off. I do remember that. And remember, Jordi Alba is on here, and he didn't play the last game against Columbus either.
He is training. There was reports that he was back on the practice field this morning at a limited fashion, but nonetheless, it's still a good sign.
Yep. And then Yannick Bright, which both of us agree, that's late June. And Dame, it looks like he might be out for the entire Club FIFA World Cup.
If that's the case, then I don't think they
late
should
June, right? Late June?
And I don't think if that's the case, if that's the risk, I don't think they should be rushed back, because at the end of the day, I mean, what is the priority for Inter Miami and this team?
To win the MLS.
MLS. The Club World Cup would be great, don't get me wrong, but it's definitely a tougher reach, I would say. The MLS is kind of what I would say the priority is. After we got eliminated from the CONCACAF Champions League, that immediately became the priority.
I'm still not over that, by the way. Getting bounced from the CONCACAF.
Yeah, and Vancouver got absolutely destroyed in that final.
I know. Not over it. But yeah, folks, that's your injury report presented by Lytle Rider, Smith Ivy, and Farnrath. Visit foryourrights.com. They've been helping injured people and their families for 35 years. Once again, Lytle Rider, Smith Ivy, and Farnrath, foryourrights.com. Forgot, Drake Callender, hernia, early July. Obviously, Oscar, and Drake Callender, goalkeeper, by the way. Obviously, Oscar.
If you forgot about him.
Yeah, if you forgot. And then that was going to my next point, Dame. Obviously, Oscar Ustari is the starting keeper for Javier Mascherano and Inter Miami. You know, if Mascherano is going to be the gaffer, it seems like Oscar Ustari is going to be the one between the posts and in front of the net. But Drake Callender, man, was solid last year. Really was, Dame. I don't understand. And obviously, Rocco Rios Novo at points, even when Callender was heavy, was the backup goalkeeper. I don't understand it. I don't know how Callender fell out of favor so badly.
Very strange, because like you said, he was very good last year. There was a lot of situations where you can say he, quote-unquote, saved us in some situations last year.
Yep.
And I know coming into the season this year, he did have an injury, but it was still a very strange situation because he was back at practice. He was ready to go. He was 100% healthy. And like you said, Richard Novo got the notch the day that Ustari couldn't play, the day that when he after his suspension from that Zaha red card. It was Novo, not Callender. So absolutely very strange. I feel like the Inter Miami want to sell him, but yet to get that offer that they're looking for.
And then obviously you need him in form, right? You need him in form and you need him playing games and you need him looking good. No team's going to – it's bad to say, but it is – damaged goods, right? I mean, no team's going to trade for a guy that's injured.
Especially after a hernia.
Right, hernia. Oh, God. I thankfully have never had a hernia, knock on wood, but a couple of my buddies have, Damien. Not a fun injury. Let me ask you this. What's your worry level with Al Ali coming up 8 p.m. on June 14th?
Honestly, that, if I were to say which game out of the three games Inter Miami has the biggest chance of winning, it's that one. So my worry level is not too high. I think Inter Miami is going to try to win that game and set the tone early in this FIFA World Cup Championship, which is going to be game by game. You know, it's not we're not looking ahead. We're not looking at Porto, which is the second game. It's the first game, which is Al Ahly. It's here at home. We're comfortable at home, and we open up the tournament. So my worry level is not too high. I would say from 1 through 10, I'm going to give you a 4.
I'm ready to take it a step further. It's a must win.
I agree.
As far as how much I'm worried, probably a 5.
Especially coming off that 5-1 victory against Columbus, I feel like you kind of take that momentum and just drive it right into Al Ahly, first game of the FIFA World Cup.
Dame, here's my issue. Like, I don't know a lot about Al Ahly. I got to be completely honest with you guys. I know a lot about world soccer. Damien, you know a ton about world soccer as well. I can't tell you a thing about Al Ahly. So the reason I put it at a 5, I don't know what to expect. Is that fair? I know it's high. 5's kind of high for a team like Al Ahly. But, Damien, I don't know what to expect. You know? They could be the greatest thing since sliced bread. I haven't watched a game of theirs. Same goes for Palmeiras.
They're currently on a 6-game win streak, Al Ahly.
Against who, though? Like,
that's
right? Against who?
That's like, the point.
That's my issue with that is who the hell are they playing?
But if you're a team and if you're in form and if you have confidence going into it, it's always dangerous.
Dangerous.
Like you said.
Now, Palmeiras, I feel like I could get a better read because there's talent all across. Damien, one thing I know, Brazil is a very talented place to go and scout for players for like the Premier League, the La Liga. Dude, my Arsenal friend, my buddy Pat, told me something that I couldn't believe was true. You know, Gabby Martinelli came from like the third division in Brazil.
Nuts.
And came to Arsenal was like an immediate impact.
Gabriel Jesus was another one. I think he was painting the ground for the 2014 World Cup. He wasn't even on a team. He was painting the ground outside the stadium for that 2014 World Cup in Brazil.
It's just like, that speaks to the quality of that Brazil league. Forgive me for thinking Palmeiras has a ton of quality and is a team. And Dame, let's call a spade a spade. Inter Miami struggles against young teams. I'm assuming Palmeiras has 19-year-olds all over the pitch that love to run. So
now the only advantage about that game is that it will be in the Hard Rock Stadium. It will be here in Miami. So hopefully
Games at Hard Rock. The first game obviously against Al Ahly and then Palmeiras. Where's Porto, D?
It's at Mercedes-Benz. So Atlanta.
going to be a ton of, you know, Inter Miami fans at that game too.
Nonetheless, not a far trip. I feel like in a sense, they kind of blessed us with our situation where we're playing.
Now, we're not optimistic about Porto. I'm not, at least. They have been struggling, to your point, but they're still, didn't they finish like second or third on that table? I think they are playing European football next year.
They finished third.
They're playing
in Portugal.
And they're playing in Europa. I believe two teams get into Champions League, correct?
Correct. Sporting, Champions League, and Benfica.
Sporting. Yeah, it's where Ruben Amorim used to coach. New gaffer at Manchester United. Where's United? They're at the Club FIFA World Cup, right, Dame? Manchester United? They're at the Club FIFA World Cup, right?
You must have dreamt that one.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We stink. That's right. We stink. Dame, must win for me. It may be unfair. Must win for me against Al Ahly. And I'm not too optimistic about the other two games.
Not optimistic
about Palmeiras and or Porto.
If we're going to be realistic, if we're looking to have a chance in this FIFA World Cup, the Al Ahly game must win. It has to be.
Like, I'm ready. And maybe Inter Miami fans disagree with me. And maybe even organizationally. I don't even think they need to get to the group stage. Just win that first game. That's where I'm at. Win that first game. I'm good with it.
So win the first, lose the next two.
I'd be fine.
Not a failure.
I'd be okay with it. I'd be completely okay
back,
with it.
Come back and let's focus on the MLS.
Now, if they lose 5-0, all right, how about this? Can I put a couple stipulations on it?
What's that?
Have the games be close. Like, lose to Porto 2-1. Lose to Palmeiras, 1-0 or something. Don't get blown out. If they beat Al Ahly 2-1 and it's a close game and they get blown out every other fixture, all right, you know, what are we doing here?
But see, this can kind of work, and I don't mean to sound like the delusional fan here. The fact that there's no pressure going into this can kind of work.
I disagree though. There is pressure for Messi. There's always pressure because of Messi.
I don't think anybody expects Messi to win the FIFA World Cup.
No, it's not win it, but get to the group stage. Here's the thing. Every Inter Miami account, fan account, whatever, they want to get out of the group stage. They think it's realistic.
But if we look at Inter Miami, the pressure since Messi got to Inter Miami, the pressure has been to win every tournament you're in. That's not the case with this FIFA World Cup.
No, God, no. You think you're beating Madrid? Beating City? Come on, man.
I'm interested to see how Inter Miami plays with zero pressure, because that hasn't been the case since Messi stepped foot in Chase Stadium.
Like, if there are Heron fans out there, and that they somehow so. And by the way, remember we had Steve we had Steve on from the Apple Pass last week.
Yes.
And remember he said there's a way where Inter Miami could play PSG.
That's the next round folks, matchup. Is against that group.
If you think Inter Miami has a chance of beating Paris Saint-Germain, I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn. Like, come on, let's. Can we take the delusional glasses off for 2 seconds here? All right, if they get out of the group stage, I'm ecstatic. Dame, I'm doing a
That'd
jig.
Be huge.
I'm
That'd
doing
be
a
huge.
Jig, a jig. You don't want to see me do a jig. It's ugly.
Now, if we do make it out the group stage and it's not in first place, we're probably going to have to sit and watch that matchup, Inter-Miami versus PSG.
Now you're telling me Jordi Alba at 40 is going to be able to put the clamps on Bradley Barcola and Dembele?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And yeah, so I know Dembele's kind of been centralized on that team nonetheless. But yeah, and the young kid who went crazy in the Champions League final. Oh, God.
How about Vitinha in the middle?
Oh, with Sergio, who can't move.
No Yannick Wright. That's kind of the
like
young...
I said, with and I love Busquets. If Sergio is listening, God, you're one of the best number fives ever. But at the same time, with Sergio, who can't move anymore, trying to put the clamps on Vitinha in the midfield. Oy vey.
My matchup would be Cello versus who's ever down that left wing.
Oh, my God, dude. Cello gets toasted by the average MLS left winger and left midi. Oh, God, who would that be? Let's think about it. That would be Barcola.
Or Doué.
Doué would be, all right, Barcola right or left. If Barcola's healthy, I'm assuming he is. Yeah. And I'm a big Bradley Barcola guy. By the way, France, that French national team should win. I know it's very unfair for me to say because how great South American soccer is. Even teams like England, Germany, Spain. Spain's world number one. We agree on this.
No, you know who plays down the left? I don't know how we missed this.
How did I miss? Kvaratskhelia.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad you pronounced his name.
Yeah, Kvaratskhelia.
That's probably the worst case scenario.
And by the way, how about, and quickly, if I could pivot a bit, how about nobody wanting Kvaratskhelia at the deadline?
Oh, my God.
Nobody wanted him.
$50 million? Was that the price tag?
Nobody wanted him, and PSG was just like, we'll take a Gant. Guy was the MVP of the squad.
He's 24 years old.
Dude, he's unreal. Guy is unreal. Napoli got swindled for $50 million on that. That guy's worth like 100. With how he played in the Champions League, that guy's worth about 100.
If PSG were to put him on the market tomorrow,
100.
It's 100.
100. Easily. Talk about good business. God, I'll tell you what. PSG has done some brilliant. They got, help me out with the pronunciation. Doué?
Yep,
Doué. I pronounced that wrong. Apologies. They got him for dollars for pennies on the dollar from what was it, Monaco? Rene.
Where Camavinga's from.
Yeah. Rene. So like they got him for like what, $15 million? What would that kid sell for? 70?
Yeah, he's 20 years old.
About 70 right now. Talk about good business. PSG, man. I guess all you gotta do is get rid of the best player in the world.
Joao Neves and Vitinha. Yeah. Neves,
another amazing. Dude, Dame, don't I know you want to know how I knew Neves before PSG?
Because he was a Manchester United's radar.
No, FIFA.
Oh, okay.
Well, he played for the Red Devils, but just in my save file.
Of course, good old FIFA.
Yeah, he just played in my save file because he was a wonder kid. Yeah. You want to know who else was a wonder kid? Rasmus Højlund. Yeah. He's not a wonder kid.
Not to get off topic, but it's kind of wild how accurate FIFA is with their wonder kids.
Besides Højlund, I agree, but outside of Rasmus Højlund and maybe Ansu Fati. Fadi was one of those players.
That was a lot of injuries.
Fadi was a player supposed to blow up like five different times.
Yeah.
But yeah, you are right. Kirkez was a wonder kid. Is he going to Liverpool?
I don't know.
You're out of money. You know, for folks, for those of you who are listening.
Momentum slowed down on that end.
Damian Perez is a Liverpool supporter. And listen, partner. Florian Wirtz is a great player. Would you pay 140?
Yeah, no, I think it was 150. That was robbery. Yeah, I'm
absolute robbery.
You know, when you pay that much for a player, and especially for a team as historic, as big as Liverpool.
He better be Messi.
That's the thing. He's got to come in and make an impact right away, and not just an impact, a significant one.
Now, I will say, he's been amazing with Leverkusen the last 2 years. He played great in the Euros. Remember when Germany, I think it was Berlin, it was all over Germany, excuse me. But Germany was the host nation for the Euros. He played unreal in the Euros. So
probably their best player.
Definitely. So, like, listen, if it's worth it, great. But 150, 150.
Yeah, God,
you got no money left.
That was great business by Leverkusen. But sold at his highest point.
And Liverpool has a lot of money after winning the Premier League and playing well in some of these other competitions and getting Champions League football
Final
again
four
next
Champions
year.
League,
I mean, they were great. I'm not trying to sit here and say, oh, Liverpool are idiots, but like, God, that's a lot of dough.
It's surprising that teams like Liverpool, Barcelona, they're not in the Club World Cup. I think looking back
Barcelona was the more surprising one for me. Liverpool, what was the criteria? Like, the criteria always misses me. The Italy team surprised me, too.
It was recent success. I don't know how many years
back. How the hell is Juventus in this, then? Did AC Milan say no? Listen, Inter Milan has probably been the best Italian team over the last couple, 4 years ago, 2020, was the last Club FIFA World Cup.
And two Champions League final.
And City has the trophy for the last Club FIFA World Cup. But I am very surprised that AC Milan, Barcelona, and Liverpool weren't in these competitions. Even Arsenal. Arsenal last couple of years have been floating around. Is it to dumb down to Champions League? Because look at the couple of teams. Chelsea won Champions League in 2021. City won last year.
So it's the four-year ranking 2021 to 2024, which is very surprising because Liverpool has an EPL and a Champions League in that time frame, if I'm not mistaken.
So 2021, Chelsea won. I believe Liverpool won COVID. Liverpool won
so
the
it was
COVID
the year,
year
before.
It was the year before they won with Jurgen Klopp. Almost said Jurgen Bon Strangle for all of my Fairly Odd Parent fans out there. But Dame, the team that surprises me is Chelsea. It has to be all because of that Champions League.
Yeah.
Dude, Chelsea was miserable. They finished like 10th on the table.
Goes
one year.
To show how much weight a Champions League holds in international soccer.
Where's United? Dame. Where's United?
Honestly, do you want to see? I mean,
oh my God.
Granted, they did great in European soccer.
Dude, did you not see how our Asia tour went? Losing 3-1.
So, I mean,
were they? The Malaysian All Star?
This can be great for United because it gives your guy, Amarin, a chance to just sit back and just build from scratch, which is what he's known for.
We lost 3-1 to the Malaysian All Stars.
I got a challenge. Name me three players from that Malaysia team.
I can't. So, just I'm a hook, line, and sinker. I'm done. Are you familiar with Mark Goldbridge?
Yeah.
One of my favorites. Oh, Goldbridge is awesome. Would love to have a conversation with that guy. Oh, what a good bloke. But Goldbridge, he was like a 60-second clip. He goes, the whole world, he goes, all Malaysia got to see how lousy this Manchester United team was all year long. Leaking goals, no offense. He goes, we just played in a cup final, didn't score a goal. Didn't score a goal in our recent three Premier League fixtures for that. And what do? Not score a goal against the Malaysian All-Stars? Oh, God, hysterical.
Now,
hysterical.
To play a little devil's advocate, that was the World Cup final for them.
Can you cut it out?
What was the final score?
I think it was 1-0 in that Malaysian game. We didn't score a goal. I thought it was 3-1. I checked the score. We won 3-1 in the second fixture. We played some other godforsaken team. We won 3-1. And then United, in that first fixture, lost 1-0. And that's what Goldbridge said. Didn't score a goal in the cup final against Tottenham. Didn't score a goal in the last two Premier League fixtures of that. And then what do? For Malaysia and all of our fans? Oh, yeah. We show them the lousy soccer we've been playing for the last 2 months and don't score a goal against the Malaysian All-Stars. Oh, it's awful. It's so bad. Dame, I got to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll go around the MLS. This is Pink Smoke. Stay with us.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Folks, the road is calling. Embrace the thrill of the drive with the fully electric 2025 Audi Q6 e-tron. Featuring effortless power, serious acceleration, and advanced Audi technology. It's not just a new electric vehicle, it's a new way to experience driving. The fully electric Q6 e-tron, the next chapter of Audi, is here. Test drive the 2025 Audi Q6 e-tron at your local South Florida Audi dealer today, or visit AudiUSA.com to learn more. That is AudiUSA.com to learn more. Well, our final segment here on Pink Smoke, and we're going to do what we always do with our good friends at Audi. That is go around the MLS.
Now it's time to go around the MLS, presented by your local South Florida Audi dealerships. Test drive the new Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealer, or visit AudiOffers.com to learn more.
Well, if you ask me to go around the MLS now, it's going to be a little tough because we don't have any fixtures going on. But, Dame, can I be doomsday guy for a little bit? Damian Perez, yeah. my producer, co-host.
Go for it.
Great friend.
It's a safe space here.
I'm doomsdaying because if I go around the MLS right now, the MLS lost 4-0 to Switzerland last night. Okay? God. Damian, this was such a good chance for, like, the narrative to change, right? And listen, I'm not saying there's a bad narrative with the MLS, okay? I think everyone likes the MLS, what it's for. It's good soccer. It's good soccer. It's not great. It's not bad. It's good soccer.
How about Brian White? 12 games, 10 goals, shows up with the national team, forgets how to play soccer.
It's like, Dame.
Brian White, sorry.
You're fine. And obviously, Quinn Sullivan, who scored a goal for the Union against the Inter Miami. You're like, Dame, there are a ton of players that we've seen. You know, and Berhalter got some action as well. This was a chance for the MLS guys to get on this team, make an impact, and make a name for themselves. You want to know what happened? They're just not good enough.
You know who's,
that's what it is.
You know
they're
who's
not
hype
good
train,
enough.
You know who's hype train? I'm absolutely just get me off of it.
What's that?
Brendan Aaronson.
Yeah. Oh, God. Is he? Jeez. Oh, man. People were still on that? Who was on that? Who was still on that?
I feel like the minute he got to Leeds, it was like, this is, you know, this is the next part of the golden generation of this U.S. national
team. It's gone so sour. And, like, I don't mean to sit here and, like I said, doomsday and be that. Let's go through the last. Oh, my God, Dave. Jeez, oh man. The last. I can't even say this with a straight face. 1, 2, 3, 4. The United States has lost their last four fixtures dating back to March 20th and Maurizio Pochettino taking
including over. Including a semifinal to Panama 1-0 here in home soil.
Exactly. So, Panama, Canada, Turkey, Switzerland. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. What happened? I was sitting here complaining about the World Cup when we made it to the knockout stage and got bounced. I'd pay dollars. I'd pay penny. Damian Perez, I would pay pennies on the dollar for the U.S. to make it to the knockout stage in the World Cup. They might not win a game. And I am dead serious. Folks, I am as serious as a heart attack when I say that.
And that's
why they might not win a game in the World Cup.
That's why we're so critical about them just completely punting the Gold Cup, because
they don't care.
It was very important for the preparation for the World Cup. You know, I understand the whole rest. I mean, I don't understand the rest aspect, because like we said earlier in the show, Messi at 40 years old, he's playing a game which Argentina's already qualified. He didn't need to play that game. Not only does he play that game and play 80 minutes, he gets on an overnight flight and he's practicing this morning with Inter Miami. So if a 40-year-old can do it at this level, at this stage of his career, why can't Christian Pulisic do it, who's at his peak?
This was a Switzerland team, by the way, that beat the MLS. Can I call it the MLS All-Stars? That's what I'm going to call it at this point. Switzerland beat the MLS All-Stars 4-0. This same Switzerland team took England, the Three Lions, to penalty kicks in the semifinal of the Euros.
The Swiss are not bad. They're not bad. They're a good team.
Hang on. I'm damn near ready to say great after their performance in the Euros. And did they win a game in the World Cup? I mean, this is a team that is consistently going deep into competitions. They looked at the U.S. and you want to know what they said to us? You're not serious. Dame, I swear to God, what you told me will stick with me for the rest of this run. They're not serious about their football right now. They're not. And Pochettino's the one that's going to catch it, because when you're down 4-0, and listen, I understand why you guys jumped all over me for being on Poch. I get it. But Dame, you could have me out there. 4-0, 37th minute, 4-0. You got people that are paying money to go see this team. 4-0. Unacceptable on so many levels. God damn. White Aronson. You had both Aronson brothers out there. You had one Aronson brother playing a 10. You had the other one playing a 7 on the left side. I like Quinn Sullivan. Can I ask you something? So Johnny Cardozo puts on the United States uniform and doesn't remember how to play?
Yeah,
he's been unreal.
Games.
Johnny Cardozo has been unreal at your squad, Real Betis. And I say your squad, but you know, you and Elias are the guys that go to bat for that Farmers League.
He had a 4.6 foot mob made.
Terrible.
Rating.
Dude, he puts on the red, white, and blue and forgets how to play. I don't have answers,
and
man.
And like you said earlier, when we saw that players like Pulisic, Timothy Weah, they weren't playing, there was, I wouldn't say excitement, but you know, this kind of presented the opportunity for players who don't usually get the opportunity to play for the U.S. national team to show what they got, to, you know, kind of audition for a role in the United States national team. And I wouldn't say, I don't think there was a player out there that kind of took advantage of that.
Listen, I don't mean...
Maybe McGlynn?
We had Josh Bauer. He's a Nashville player. He plays fullback for Nashville. He's friend of show. Okay, we have an MLS player that's friend of show. I'm gonna go after it. It is unacceptable to have Walker Zimmerman, your starting center back, at 32 years old. Dame, Walker Zimmerman and Mark McKenzie. You're never gonna. We're not. You're not. You wouldn't beat the U16 team. Kromoski and the 20-year-olds would beat that team. Honest to God, Benjamin Kromoski and the 20-year-olds would beat that team. Folks, you hear that music, that means it's time for us to go. Appreciate everyone who listened on to Pink Smoke, our World Football Edition. We have the Club FIFA World Cup coming up in 3 days. Best of luck to our Inter-Miami Herons in what I'm calling a must-win matchup against Al Ahly. Lionel Messi played well for the Argentinian national team. Appreciate our partners of the show as well. We'll catch up with you guys later. Sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them saves you forever. Remember that in this life. We'll see you later. Bye.